Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Go to Jason Ross's tweets. This is a crazy thing. The first 53 games of the season, the Kings held an opponent under 100 points a couple of times. I don't know the exact number, but the last 22, that number is bumped up. Okay, it's bumped up like gas prices in the 916. You can make the argument this was the most complete game the bench played all day, or all season, excuse me.
It was nice to see them out there, you know, tonight on their second game. Like I said, Trey Lyles played, you know, massive minutes tonight. Was just doing everything, rebounding, scoring. I mean, he was driving to the basket, which I love to see. He wasn't just settling for the three.
I love games like these because the Kings only shot 28% from three. So we won this with our defense, which is how you win games in the playoffs when things are in the mud. Clips shot 40% from the arc, and we still held them under 100 points. Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily. Joined by Naima and Elizabeth. What's going on?
Hey, y'all.
What's up, y'all?
First quarter, Domas finds Keegan on the back cut for an easy layup. Shout out to Davion for forcing Russ out of bounds for the turnover. And then a shout out to Len for getting the monster block on Amir Coffey. Trey Lyles makes a three at the end of the quarter. It's a 24-all tie. Second quarter, Kings build up their lead to 16. Clips go to a 2-3 zone with 6 minutes to go and make a run. Davion punches in his fourth three. Shout out to him. Kings lead 56-51 to end the half. Liz and Naima, your thoughts?
So the game started out ugly by both sides. Just sloppiness back and forth. I mean, I was like, what is happening? But thankfully, you know, with both teams being sloppy, because that game could have got out of hand super early, like we've seen, you know, in previous games when we start the game off making mistakes. But our defensive side of the ball definitely helped keep us in that game because we were returning the favor by making them turn the ball over, making them take stupid shots, things like that. So I kind of liked, you know, how physical that first quarter went in regards to, you know, we weren't starting off the greatest, but we kept ourselves in the game just by our defensive, you know, physicality. The second quarter, we obviously picked up guys starting to hit shots. You know, I really liked what Keegan was doing early. I thought Fox was being really aggressive. Unfortunately, he just wasn't hitting, you know, much. It's like frustrating because I could tell he's kind of frustrated. Like he's getting those looks that he loves in the, you know, in the mid range in the paint, and he's just like missing them. But I know, you know, he'll obviously adjust, and I think he'll be okay with, you know, what he's doing. But I just love like Trey Lyles coming off the bench, doing what he was doing, just doing everything, you know, rebounds, assists, scoring. Davion Mitchell, you know, hitting those threes that he's been, you know, hitting as of late too. And I love it because he was counted out so early, you know, in the season because he was, you know, on a struggle. And I was kind of like one of those people were like, you know, maybe we do need to have this conversation about Davion, but he's come in as of late and just absolutely killed it with his role. So it was nice seeing him going early, hitting those shots as well, just playing defense like he's normally doing and things like that. And then Alex Len coming off the bench defensively was just so amazing. I mean, he was hitting those double teams right. He was rotating right. He was, you know, getting his hands in the passing lanes, the deflections. So I love seeing that as well. And we could just see what this team can do defensively. You know, I was told that they can't play any defense, but as we've seen of late, they've been playing incredible defense. And I believe keeping teams under 100, they've done so like multiple times in the last like 15 games. So that's just great to see. But yeah, just a great first half. I loved what everyone was doing, what everyone was providing, the bench, the starters. It was just a really, really nice, you know, all team game for the first half.
Yeah, I think Liz said it all best with that. I just especially loved Keegan's aggressiveness. Like, I really love, like, this whole, the entire game in the first half as well. Just the bench stepping up is really refreshing to see. I understand they didn't have Kawhi, but, you know, still the Clippers are still a great team. You know, they have future Hall of Famers in Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So it's like, you never know, obviously, who's going to show up now that they're, you know, past their prime and all, but still like staying aggressive, you know, playing that defense after a rough start, especially on offense, that first half, like just keeping your foot on the gas and like playing with effort. I absolutely adored the way that the Kings play on defense as well. Like Trey Lyles going for loose balls, even though he literally just came back from like an injury, but still like putting his body on the line like that. Just very appreciative of how the Kings came out, like with a sense of urgency in this game.
Right on. And I'm glad you mentioned Trey Lyles. When I saw him dive, I appreciate that, but it's like, can you chill for yep. a second? You just got back from injury. And maybe that's why he was injured, because he's always balls to the wall when he gets on the court. I did want to shout out Alex Len with his three blocks in the first half. And not only that, he contests and alters so many shots. And I think that had a lot to do with our lead. And I will say this, anytime Sasha Vezenkov is on the floor, the Kings made a huge run. Even if he didn't even get that many touches, they just kept making a run every time he was in the game. So they did it in the second quarter, I believe, and then in the fourth. So that was interesting. And then I loved how Fox and Len forced Harden into that turnover. I think it was Harden, and which led to a Fox dunk. Our defense looked really nice today. And then Liz mentioned how Davion shooting has improved. And you know, I said this before, I think Davion's improved shooting is sustainable. I think we're going to get this from here on out. Sometimes it takes a whole season to put it all together. I can't say that enough, and I'm super excited for it. I mentioned earlier on the timeline tonight, I love that our next man up is really by committee. I love how everyone is chipping in, and it's a beautiful thing. Moving forward, third quarter, Domas gets his 58th consecutive double-double. HB hits back-to-back threes. Fox finds Len for a dunk to end the half. Kings up by 21, 91-70. Fourth quarter, Fox finds Len for the lob. Lyles gets a layup on a back cut, and then Uncle Keegs blocks Westbrook's shot. That's pretty much all she wrote. Kings win 109-95. I light the beam. It's kind of funny. At about 7 minutes ago, the Clippers announcers were already saying Coach Ty Lue was already throwing in the towel because he put in some reserves at that moment. And I thought that was a little error on the announcer's part. But yeah, it kind of felt like that. So Naima and Elizabeth, thoughts on the game?
Yeah, like you said, I feel like it was like 6-7 minutes left, like you said. And yeah, he left that bench in with Highland and Tice and, you know, Russell Westbrook. So I think he was like, all right, it's enough, especially because I believe it was a back-to-back for the Clippers. So maybe he just, like, wanted some rest for his starters and whatnot. But, yeah, it was just a really good second half. We kind of just, you know, again, put the foot on the gas and didn't stop. one thing I'd like to mention is, though, is Keegan's poster on Zubac. That was incredible. That was probably the highlight of the game. I know Keegan was gonna crack a smile, but it's like, it's so funny with Keegan. It's just like he's about to smile, but he's like, nah, I'm not going to let y'all see me smile. I'm not going to allow it. But it was just a really good dunk, and I love how everyone was excited for him, especially Monk on the bench and everything. So, yeah, it was just a solid all around. It was a very much a team effort win. Just love what I saw from the bench, from Trey Lyles to Alex Len to Davion Mitchell. Everyone just stepped up, and it was just an overall solid team win.
Yeah, I mean, look, after those two Mav games, obviously, you know, it, like, everyone was deflated, and rightfully so. You know, I get it. You know, I mean, two losses to a team, you know, with, you know, we're chasing and, you know, competing against in the standings and things like that. But also, you know, the same day you lose Kevin Huerter and you lose Malik Monk, most likely, Kevin Huerter, obviously, for the season, and Malik Monk, and, you know, if we continue far into the playoffs, you know, we can probably get him back at some time. So that's just obviously up in the air. So I get why, you know, fans were so deflated. But the other thing is what I don't understand is, you know, people are saying season's over, you know, it's done, we're cooked, just like the wildest things happening on the timeline. And I'm like, look, we still have Sabonis and Fox together, which those two continue on a nightly basis to show up and do their thing. You have Keon Ellis, who's moved into the starting role, and when he's not bringing it to you offensively, because obviously the offense isn't consistently there, and that's okay, but he brings it to you defensively with the intensity that he brings. But other guys have been stepping up. Now we got Trey Lyles and Sasha back on Sunday against Utah, which was great to get them kind of back into a game, you know, like that, where, you know, you can kind of take control against a really depleted Utah Jazz team. So getting them back, getting them some burn was absolutely key, you know, to these final nine games. So it was nice to see them out there, you know, tonight on their second game. Like I said, Trey Lyles played, you know, massive minutes tonight. It was just doing everything, rebounding, scoring. I mean, he was driving to the basket, which I love to see. He wasn't just settling for the three. He got some, like, really nice reverse layups. Like, I think he had, like, two, you know, that he got fouled on. But to have those guys back is super important. But guys have been stepping up. Davion off the bench, you know, the combination of Chris Duarte, Kessler Edwards have been stepping up. Alex Len has just been doing the damn thing. So this bench we've kind of been seeing coming around, even when before Malik got hurt, we've been kind of seeing guys come around and start to kind of pick things up. But now having Trey and Sasha back, I think is absolutely key, you know, especially with Malik going down. So we just have to take it one game at a time. So you come off two really tough losses, obviously. You respond well on Sunday to, you know, a really depleted Jazz team. You take care of business. But then tonight, you know, obviously, oh, people could say, oh, Kawhi was out and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, look, we don't have Kevin. We don't have Malik, two of our biggest guys on this team. And, you know, we still took care of business. We took over and did the damn thing tonight. So we have to take it one game at a time. The schedule, yes, it looks tough. But things happen in the NBA, and that's why you play every game, every single night. It doesn't matter who's playing, what's going on. You go in, you focus on a game at a time, and you just take care of business when you can. So I'm proud of this team. Despite the adversity, we are still in it. It doesn't matter what goes on. We have to take care of business. We don't need to worry about anybody else. If we just continue to win games like we're doing, we will be okay. So yeah, tonight was just a really, really good game from the squad. The bench stepped up. The starters did their thing. So, yeah, I'm just really, really happy with this win.
Absolutely. And shout out to them for responding in the third quarter. I just feel like lately the third quarter has been a difficult quarter for them. So I love that response. They responded in the third. I will point out the fact that they hold the Clips to only 95 points tonight, and the Clips have been trending upward. As far as last 10 game stats are concerned, they are fourth in offensive rating. So to hold them under 100 points, I think, is phenomenal. So shout out to the Kings for that. And then the Kings are still fifth in defensive rating for the last 10 games. So minus the Mavs games, unfortunately, yeah, the Kings are still trending upward despite losing Malik Monk. I feel like our bench players are going to step up. And I love our ball movement. That ball was zipping around there today. It was fantastic. And also, I will shout out Mike Fratello, man. He's the color commentator occasionally for the Clippers, and it was just, I felt like it was a blast from the past. I felt like it was in a time machine in a good way. It's always amazing to listen to them drop jewels when you're listening to a game. But anywho, the mics are open. We appreciate everyone here. So good to see everyone again. Keith, what's happening?
Oh, sorry. I didn't get that. Woo! Okay. Let's get down to brass tacks, people. First things first. Big dub, big fucking dub on a Tuesday night, a Taco Tuesday. So we got to respect that. A win's a win in the NBA, like Liz was talking about. No Kawhi Leonard, but it's still a fucking dub any way you piece it up. Now, let's backtrack. I want to make this crystal clear. The timeline does not lie. It does not tell untruths. It's bare. It's naked for all to see in this motherfucker. I was down. I was down, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be the first to admit it. I didn't say the season was over. If you go back to my tweets, I'm not saying Liz is calling me out, but I'm not going to lie. It wasn't looking too good. We just lost Malik because of Luka's fat ass in the Golden Corral. It was a bad, bad night, man. That was a bad night. And I was saying to myself the next day, I said, it's going to be tough because the bench hadn't been playing good all year. They were inconsistent as it was without Malik Monk. What was it going to be with Malik Monk, excuse me? What was it going to be like without Mixtape Monk? And I got to be honest, this bench, this team, they have responded with flying colors. Jason Ross just sent out a tweet. Go to Jason Ross's tweets. This is a crazy thing. The first 53 games of the season, the Kings held an opponent under 100 points a couple of times. I don't know the exact number, but the last 22, that number is bumped up. Okay, it's bumped up like gas prices in the 916, but I digress. I forget whether it was Daly or somebody. You could make the argument this was the most complete game the bench played all day, or all season, excuse me. It definitely helped that Trey Bay was back. He looked good. I know the exact play you're talking about when he dove on the floor. That scared the fuck out of me, but Trey was knocking him down. He was running the floor. Sasha looked good. Obviously, we don't need to go into more detail about the freaking legend himself, Keon Ellis, the Bama baller, the two-way triumphant star, defensively locked in, offensively, you know, it is what it is. It's a work in progress. We love the guy. We love him. We love him to death. Look, man, I don't know how to, you know, you get a big dub from the, you hate to say it, but the Warriors helped us out. They beat the Mavs. You're one game back of the Pels. And anything can happen. But I think this team collectively, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Expectations, not so much playing consistent, play down in the competition. No expectations. No one gives them a shot in the world to get out of this hole. And they just start busting people's ass, man. But it's going to be a – we got to go on the road. Got to take care of business. It's going to be a great, exciting, climactic end of this season. But you know what? We got to let the chips fall where they may. Go out there. We play like we play tonight. Anything can fucking happen in this league, man. So big dub. It's not over. Everyone pump the brakes. Turn the fucking jets on, light the beam. Let's go give this a fucking run, see if we can make it the playoffs. God bless.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go. Thanks, Keith, for that. Appreciate you as always. Liz, what's up?
Yeah, I was just going to point out, Willsy, shout out to Willsy Stats. He posted, the Kings held the Clippers to 15 of 41, which is 36.6% shooting in the paint tonight. Those are outstanding numbers. So that just goes to a test. With guys like, you know, Alex Lynn coming in, doing that, you know, helping out with that. So just a great, great night letting, you know, basically not letting them score in the paint tonight when usually guys like, you know, Paul George, James Harden could get to the basket, even Russell Westbrook, you know, so just a great, great stat all around.
Right on, right on. Joseph, how are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm good, man. This was a very quality win. Sabonis, you know, what else can you say about the guy? He's just a beast. The team had 56 rebounds tonight, and he had 20 of those. So just a great rebounding night, great offensive rebounding night, too. I think we had 20 offensive rebounds, yep. And the ball movement was beautiful. You know, I was worried when Monk went down, but, you know, that's before we knew we'd get, Trey Lyles back and Sasha, and thank God, like, Davion's, you know, been performing. I love to see it. So that's great for him and the team. So, I don't know. I'm pretty chill right now. I think we're still in the mix, and everything's kind of bunched up and close. So every game feels just like, you know, almost like a playoff game. And I think yeah, we do thrive under pressure. This team does. So I'm kind of glad that the schedule's a little tough. You know, so let's just get it done.
Yeah, for whatever reason, we always seem to play better against so-called higher ranked opponents anyway. So bring it on. I'm not really worried about the strength of schedule. It is what it is. They always seem to bring it. So,
but wait, Daly, doesn't that mean we should have lost Sunday against the Jazz, since apparently we lose to only like all bad teams?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's what I was told. So I'm just, you know, going by, you know, what we've been told apparently.
Oh, and you know what? Let me just say this. A very so-called prominent account on King's Twitter, as soon as the Mavs beat us, these fools put out a tweet saying, let's strike up the tankathon already, or something like that. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? What are we doing here?
Well, and not only that, like, yes, those two games obviously hurt from a standpoint of it being so late in the season, but we still were 2-2 record. So it's going to come down to conference wins. So there's still a chance that even if, like, we finished with the same record, if we have a better conference record, we would take over that position. Like, it didn't absolutely crush us with those losses. Like, you know, yes, obviously so late into the season, it does hurt you. But if it comes down to it where we both have the same record, we had a better conference record, we would take their spot in the seeding. So it's not completely like game over, season's done, we're cooked, like people were saying. Like, there's still positions where we can, if we continue to take care of business, that we can still finish in the top six seeding.
Yeah, it's not all said and done. And actually, we have a better conference record as of now. We have one less loss than they do. So, yeah, you never know. Thanks for that, Liz. Ross, what's up, man?
Yo, what up, everybody? Great win tonight, man. It was just a really fun game, like people have been saying. It's different feel when you just have that ball movement like that, and you just feel like everybody's playing for each other, going for offensive rebounds, and just super unselfish, almost to the point where, you know, you get those plays where you get the open shot after five or six passes, and you still do a pump fake and cut to the hoop so you can get the even more open shot, passing up the good shot for a great shot. And kind of been missing that with this team. We have our nights, but, you know, offense has obviously struggled the last couple months for whatever reason, and basically the whole year. And I think teams have kind of game planned for us. And I'm not saying it's going to last forever, but it's a shakeup now because Monk's gone, and we're so reliant and maybe even predictable a little bit because he's so good. Why would you not just go to the pick and roll every time? But maybe this starts something new where it's a little bit more just swing the ball around and just let's play as a team again instead of just relying on Monk and then relying on Fox in the fourth. And it makes teams a lot harder to guard. It's kind of like I talked about earlier in the year, when you play a team without their star, there's less game planning because you don't just dump it into a guy and let him go to work. So that's a really positive sign. Obviously the Clippers have been struggling on defense. So, you know, but just in general, they seem to be really playing for each other. And, you know, you get a Keegan that's basically like you guys talked about, he has to be, you know, getting 15 shots a game, basically. Like, coach is going to yell at him if he doesn't, and the team's depending on him. So there's less of that. He's such a passive person. He's forced to do it. And you really see how good he is. And we've seen flashes, but man, it's going to be great to see, you know, at least 8 more games, you know, 9-10 more games of this, of just him being ultra aggressive and showing what he can do attacking the basket. Might even see playmaking come from it. And same with Sabonis too. Sabonis looks to be more aggressive offensively, which we've kind of been asking for, and now he doesn't really have a choice. So when before he would get into the post and look for a pass, he might just take that quick hook shot like he did tonight. And then the third thing that falls into place is Fox going back to kind of like point Fox, as opposed to offensively aggressive Fox, because we need, without Monk out there, we basically need him to be almost as much of a playmaker as he is a scorer. And you've kind of been seeing that. I can't remember what year it was, his second or third, but he averaged a pretty high amount of assists. He does have that in him. He just became so good on offense that the team just, you know, he gets by a guy and there's no need to not pass the ball. But yeah, you know, long way to go, but like a lot of us have said, that, you know, we never really counted this team out. There's so much talent, and getting Sasha and Trey back, you know, you kind of underestimate how big of a deal they are for this team until you get them back and realize that they're, you know, 6'9", 6'10 guys that both can put a body on somebody inside. They can grab a rebound. They can both knock down a three. So to get two of those guys at the same time is huge. And lastly, shout out to anybody who didn't give up on Davion. I've loved him. He's been one of my favorite players. He was my favorite player for a minute before Hallie came around, because he's just such a dog. You could tell he works so hard. We've all seen the videos, and he deserves it more than anybody. So shout out to the folks who kept believing him, and he's shining now. Light the beam.
And Ross, do you feel like this is sustainable for Davion, his uptick in shooting? I feel like it is. I think we're going to get this Davion in the playoffs. What do you think?
I do. We saw it. We all saw it his rookie year when they kind of gave him the keys the last 20 games and he went off offensively. And he's never really felt like he was taking bad shots. They just weren't going in. And then it got to a point after about, you know, a year of him struggling on offense, he just started doubting himself and he stopped. He'd be open or he'd have a potential cut to the basket and he would just pass it up. And now he's like got to the point where he's going for it. And it looks like he's almost getting to the point now where his confidence is ratcheting up. You can kind of see he's like, you know, leave Fox and Domas off for 2 or 3 minutes and see what I can do with it. So it's cool to see.
And speaking of the videos of Davion training all summer, shout out to Jimmy Alapag, aka Mighty Mouse, who was with Davion in all of his Instagram training videos, from being in the Bahamas, Los Angeles, Spain, just working on his game, and Jimmy Alapag helping him out. And I think that's incredible. And that's what this organization does, right? Because we saw Coach Christie with Domas over the summer in Santa Monica, and Luke Laux with Fox and Keegan. And it's crazy. So that's amazing. Thank you for that, Ross. I will say Fox would have had a lot more assists earlier in his career, especially during the Luke Walton years. But, you know, everybody seemed to shoot like a hoe back then, especially Buddy, since he was literally our only option shooting from the arc. I love games like these, because the Kings only shot 28% from three. So we won this with our defense, which is how you win games in the playoffs when things are in the mud. Clips shot 40% from the arc, and we still held them under 100 points. These are the types of games I've been dreaming about and wanting the Kings to win by, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, so I posted a couple things in the Jumbotron during Mike Brown's post-game press conference. He said, "The thing I like about it is this is how you win in the playoffs. You don't win in the playoffs by scoring 125 points. That's fool's gold." So just to attest to your point that you were just making, Daly. And then I posted the stats for basically the defense in March. I mean, they took a huge leap defensively in the month of March, which is obviously super, super crucial, you know, to be pushing for the playoffs, especially after the All-Star break and things like that. So I just love what they're doing. Yes, the defense is slumping. We shot 28% from the freaking 3-point line tonight, and we still won by 13 points. So it just goes to show that defense does matter in the NBA. If you stop teams and you still can score, shoot 41% from the field, you can still win games. And then I also wanted to make a point real quick before I forget, is shout out to the Stockton Kings, Lindsay Harding. She got the NBA or G League Coach of the Year, which is a freaking amazing. And the overall number one record in the entire G League. That is fucking awesome. So if you guys can go try to support the game in Stockton on Thursday, I think it'd be really cool to have the, fans show out and show up for that game. It's going to be super awesome for them to see. So hopefully they can get that win on Thursday. But yeah, just amazing. Just amazing that, we have so much good coaching in this coaching tree. Obviously Lindsay was with us last season in player development. And everyone has just, always said good things about her and loves her. So just awesome that she went down to Stockton, got the head coaching job, and then won, her first head coaching of the year. So that's just amazing. So shout out to them.
Right on. Stereo, what's up, man?
What's up, Davey? That was a beautiful game, dude. I thoroughly enjoyed watching them hound the Clippers into a frenzy. Like, them dudes looked so confused. They were getting hit from every side. Everybody had hands. Even when there were frantic paces of, like, a couple of times the Kings got kind of, like, frantic too. But it was just the whole time the Kings controlled the tempo of the whole game. Like, watching them control that game was a beautiful thing. So, man, I'm loving how they're clicking together. I'm loving so far, even though it's been a short period of time on Monk being out, watching guys step up. It's a beautiful thing to see what confidence does for a baller, because if you watch Davion, and I'm going to be honest, like, I know this is not the popular opinion. I'm still not sure what he is or what he's going to be. I'm not sure where he fits on the team long term, but I've always loved the dude. I always want to see him do well wherever he's at. If it's here, that's great. If it's somewhere else, still same thing. But watching him play right now, you see the confidence. You see it in his eyes. You see it with no hesitation of him either shooting or making a move to the basket. There's no – he right now, he is playing where his mind is free. And anybody that's hooped before or played ball before knows what that feels like when it's just kind of a zone. And everything is like, it's all – everything you're doing is reactionary. Like, you know where everybody's supposed to be. You know where to place the ball. You know where your shots are. You know where the cuts are. And that's what he's doing right now. I'm seeing that out of him and watching that progression. And it's taken a while, obviously, and it's twofold, right? It's one, he wasn't playing like that even when he had minutes earlier in the season. He was not decisive. He was passing up shots. And some of it is Mike with the quick hook too. I get that. But just, again, just watching him progress and becoming the player he is right now, I'm excited for him as a human being because I think he's a great dude. And even some of these young guys at the end, like, I love – when they can get blowouts and they get Slauson in there and they get Edwards in there and Mason, like, it's cool to see them because there's some experience in that. And I think a couple of those guys have a good chance at some point, especially with a team like the Kings, where you don't have really, like, I know this comes up a lot, but, like, you're not going to go out there and have, like, a big three, right, money-wise. Like, some of it is you're going to have to cultivate some of these players that are going to be on your roster and take up important spots later on during the building of this franchise as a contender. And I think guys like Kobe Jones and even Kessler, like, I think they can have a huge part in that as long as they continue to progress. And look at Keon. Like, look what Keon's done with his opportunities and learning and growing. And, like, it's a beautiful thing, man. So, like, it's exciting to see I just want to see them get in, obviously, make the playoffs, make sure they solidify that pick more than anything. And then whatever they do is, to me, is icing on the cake. This is just the second year of building this into a continuous playoff team contending for a title. And, man, let's just keep growing, man. It's all about growing.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So weird hearing other people talk about long-term plans for this team. Thank you for that.
I get it, man. Like, I feel so, look, like, from the outside looking in, I feel bad sometimes because I'll get into heated discussions with some of the Kings fans that are just bonkers out there, right? And part of me feels for them too, because I get it. Like, when somebody's kept you in a cage for 16 years and just slid you underneath a bowl of porridge, and that's all you've had for 16 years, and then someone slaps a steak in your face, it's hard not to want that steak every day after that. Like, I get it. Like, it's you've been hungry for so long and someone threw something, and it wasn't like they just did some, like, you know, they were just 500 last year where they were like, oh yeah, they're better. At least they don't suck. Like, they were exciting. They, like, looked like a team that was on a meteoric rise. So a lot of people wanted to see those, like, just those flashy moves and this and that. And it's like, no, kudos to that organization for, we don't know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen going forward, but kudos for them for standing pat, seeing their vision, not letting that meteoric shot that they had last year dictate what they did next, right? They kept going forward with the same exact plan that they had before last year. They kept with that plan. They didn't deviate from it and go get a $200 million player or do this or do that. Like, they stayed with what they thought was the growth of this team going forward, and one, knowing that they have a small market team, and two, knowing that if we're going to sustain this for a while, this is how we're going to do it. And we don't know if all these moves are going to work, right? But at the end of the day, it's a good plan, and we got to be patient, a little bit of patience, man, and let's see what Monty and them do, man.
No, I'm excited for our youngins. I think Colby Jones could totally grow into a Bruce Brown role for us, just a jack of all trades. I think Keon is definitely our KCP as long as the shooting keeps up. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and this is a Captain Obvious statement, we need our own Jonathan Isaac / Aaron Gordon type of player. We need a 6'10", 6'9", person that's versatile, that could bang on the boards. And because I don't want Domas to work hard all the time on the boards. Somebody else should do that job. You know what I mean? Just the fact that, and I mentioned this in the last episode, where, like, Jokic, and they were comparing Jokic and Sabonis' stats, and how Sabonis, like, has the disparity between Sabonis and Jokic when it comes to DHOs is super great and wide. But then Jokic has his numbers are super high when it comes to just entry passes. And we all know who they're going to. They're going to AG, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we could get Sabonis his own Aaron Gordon, so to speak, I don't know who that is, and I'm sure the Kings have a list. That would be amazing.
And real quick, like, it was, because I'll be the first one to admit that he was, to me, a huge disappointment with Magic, right? And, of course, he was drafted so high that there are certain expectations built with him, and it was a horrible organization, too, at the time. And when he went to Denver, to me, it was like, all right, man, cool. He's an athletic dude. Got him on the cheap, whatever. Like, hope you can do something with him. Like, I didn't see him being such a key role into what he was when he got to Denver. But that tells you a lot about, sometimes, man, guys need to be, like, and it's just like a quarterback. Like, every quarterback can't play on every team. Every player
can't be on every team. Like, guys have roles for a reason. And some teams, they just don't fit on what their skill sets don't fit on those particular teams. But if you put them somewhere else, you get them that fresh start or whatever, like, they're a brand new dude. You just got to know how to use a player. And, like, that's what he did in Denver. Like, he's spectacular over there. He's perfect for that team.
It's a tale as old as time, right? Like, look at Andrew Wiggins. Like, he was supposed to be the guy in Minnesota, but it just didn't work out because that's just not his DNA. You know what I mean? If anything, they should have kept Jimmy and shipped Wiggins off sooner. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. But the fact that Wiggins was perfect for Golden State and helps them win their last chip.
And that's what a good organization does, exactly. Right? They find the guys that are perfect for their team, and they pick them up and they use them correctly. So,
and so, yeah, we need our own guy like that. I don't know who it is, but, you know, I'm sure Monty has an idea. Serial, always appreciate you, man. Torino, what's up, man?
Okay, am I good now?
Yes, you were. Yes, you are. What's up?
Okay, so what I was saying was, I believe it was today or yesterday, D'Lo had they were speaking with Will Z, D'Lo and KC, and they were, you know, D'Lo had proposed that maybe the Kings just due to Malik and Kevin being gone, that the Kings have to shift their priority on how they go into games, whereas we know them being this prolific offense now that they were saying between Malik and Kevin, that's about 25 points, almost 30 points gone. You know, they have to shift into being a defensive first team. And obviously the numbers in the last few games have backed that up. You know, they're up in defensive rating and so on and so forth. So obviously it's been prevalent that the defense has definitely been better. And we all, you know, in the beginning, we might have thought, oh, it's due to inserting Keon into the starting lineup, which still may very well be the case, or it can be a part of that. But now the whole team is playing better defense. And, you know, partly I think is because obviously it's on the back end. So I want to say that for the most part, now officials are starting to kind of let teams play more physical. Obviously, there are the tic-tac fouls that we still see that we get tired of, and even benefits Fox and Sabonis from time to time. But I feel like they're allowing teams to be more physical on the back end because, obviously, you know, in the playoffs, that the whistle kind of doesn't get blown a lot. You know, they kind of let teams duke it out. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing now. And you know, I feel like we've always believed that the Kings are capable defensively. They're just never allowed to be physical. And now they're kind of being given the opportunity to be physical and showing, you know, with these last few games. So, you know, I guess do you guys believe that that's what's happening? Are we kind of shifting? Again, we're a great offensive team. And we still can score with the best of them, but for the most part, do you feel like they're somewhat shifting more focus into being into a defensive team, and then kind of because we're so good offensively that's just kind of second nature for us?
I think that's what we've always wanted to be, but we didn't have the personnel. And we did have the personnel, but we didn't have the slots or the space to put them in. So with Herter and Monk, they're both like offensive juggernauts. And yeah, I'm kind of exaggerating there. But with Kevin, in a best case scenario, he makes our offense hum, right? Because he's such a connector. His thinking, his feel for the game is amazing. But unfortunately, if Kevin is not shooting well, then he kind of gets played off the floor, right? Because of his defense was a liability. So, but we still had to play him because we traded him for him. We gave a first round pick for him. It's just that, yeah, he's a minus if his shot doesn't go down. And unfortunately that's what was happening with him. And then with Monk, we know who he is. And in the playoffs, you do need guys exactly like Monk that could go nuclear and be super ignitable and drop 30 for no reason, especially when the defenses start clamping up. You need a self-creator. And with having them out, it's forced us to play the guys that we've already had, but we knew what they could do. And I love what we are now. And it was just a natural progression, I think, with them being out. And, you know, and I said earlier, I love us winning games this way. The fact that we still want a game shooting under 30% from three is everything. It's incredible. So I think this is who we are. And I hope that it continues. And I think we all know, and I'm sorry for all the people who love Kevin Huerter. I really think he'll be moved over the summer, but that's a whole nother episode. We'll touch on that down the line. Ross, what's up?
Yeah, I completely agree with you guys. I love, and obviously, you know, sign Monk to 10 years if I'm the GM, because he needs to be a part of this team going forward, but not playing him, you know, if we're going to be real and talk about the other things, is our rebounding gets better too, because Monk's incredible, but he's a pretty small guy, you know, so having him out there, it's just going to be a kind of mismatch on that size. And it just shows how amazing he is that he's like this skinny guy that's like a short, I don't know what he is, 6'3", 6'4", or something, but he's really just, you know, not this incredibly big guy and is still able to do such amazing things on the court. But yeah, we do become a better defensive team. And like tonight, you could just see the rebounding. You just got, you know, tall guys, Trey, Sasha, super good rebounders, Davion, and Keon is a super underrated rebounder. He's just one of those guys that's like got the eye and can see the ball coming off the rim, because he always, especially offensive rebounds, just is able to kind of snack them and just get that little put back layup. So yeah, love to see this team winning games like this. I don't know the last time as a Kings fan there's been a 15 game span where they played this good a defense. So yeah, just love to see it.
Right on, Ross. Appreciate you, man. Liz, what's up?
Yeah, just to go off of, you know, what's been said regarding the defense. I mean, we kind of knew when Mike Brown was hired as the head coach, like obviously with the Warriors, he was like the assistant coach and he would call it the defense. So it's like, that's what they wanted to focus on more, but we didn't necessarily have the right pieces automatically. But then you kind of work on like everyone individually, like how they can step up defensively. So you kind of watched since Mike Brown's been here, guys like De'Aaron Fox, guys like Keegan Murray, you know, Sabonis has gotten better defensively. You're obviously seeing the emergence of Keon Ellis. Davion, I think, has gotten better too in regards to like his physicality, leading with his chest. So now you kind of see the pieces starting to come together a little bit with what we have. And now it's been paying off, because again, you have to see when in the playoffs, like obviously last year we were an offensive juggernaut. We led the league in, you know, the leading scoring team, like things like that. But that's not always sustainable. You have to be able to play defense. And that was kind of what got us in game seven. You know, obviously, yes, Steph went for a heater, but in that second half, we could not rebound the freaking ball to save our lives. Like Kevon Looney was just going bazook on those offensive rebounds. So now with this defense starting to come around, you can win some of those games where it's just physical. And even though you're missing shots and you're shooting terrible from three, you can win some of those games. Yes, that also won't be sustainable, but we also won't 20% from the 3-point line every single game. So just defensively, you do have to kind of shift. Yes, when your guys, you know, two of your, you know, biggest offensive guys, you know, with Kevin Huerter obviously getting a lot of shots up, when he's not hitting, then obviously, yes, he gets moved to the bench because of his defensive liability. But with Malik Monk not coming off the bench anymore with what he provides off the bench in the scoring terms, you just kind of have to, you know, focus different gears. And then you have to ask basically everyone to contribute off the bench. And now you also have to ask more of your stars and Sabonis and De'Aaron. And now you got to ask a little more from Keegan in regards to, you know, being more aggressive, getting to the basket more, doing what he can do. So yeah, it's just what we've been seeing, you know, kind of all season, but so far in these past two games, is that guys are stepping up when needed. So, you know, if we can continue this, you know, I have a really good feeling, you know, about our situation come playoff time.
100%. You guys are amazing. Thank you for listening to us. And thank you for making us a part of your evening. We will be back. I want to say Thursday, the first game of the back-to-back. Like Naima said, Friday is probably going to be reserved for us watching women's basketball as well as just other things going on that weekend. Liz, I don't even know if we play. I think we play Saturday.
We play Sunday. No, we play. So, yeah, we play Thursday, Friday, and then we play Sunday in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there ain't going to be no spaces, man.
No, we're not. Yeah, I was going to message you and be like, what are we doing here? But I was going to say we could do Thursday, Friday, but then I forgot. The women's games are on Friday, so we can
I could possibly do Friday. I might do it just because we miss so much time, and you feel free not to feel obligated.
I feel like we should, if it's a good game, you know what I mean, because obviously like it's Boston, so I'm like worried, you know, like for that game. But I feel like too, because I think the following week we also have a back-to-back against Phoenix and the Pelicans, so we can like we can do both those games. Like I'm down to do both those games for that following week too. That way we can make up some time. So but yeah, no, absolutely. We're not. WrestleMania is like reserved for this weekend. Like.
And shout out to our speakers, Cereal and Torino. Thank you guys for always adding to the show. You guys are the best, man. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.